This is Valley Public Radio. I'm David Alst. The next Philip Lorenz International Keyboard Concert is tomorrow night, Friday, November 30th, 8 p.m. at the Fresno State Concert Hall. Featured artist is internationally renowned pianist Shai Wozner. He'll be playing a program of Chopin and Schubert, and we're delighted to have him in studio with us today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Great to have you with us. So, curious, how did you come to the piano?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, when I was a kid, we had a piano at home, but no one was actually playing it at that time, but it was just there. And I guess I was intrigued and went to it and started sort of, you know, fool around with it and after a while tried to teach myself how to play some tunes that I heard on the radio. And then I guess after that I tried to add some harmonies to those tunes and really felt, you know, like this is the best thing ever. I thought that was all there is to it and you know, just wanted to do this for the rest of my life. And of course, I didn't read music or anything like that. Then my parents tried to talk me into getting lessons. And of course, I wouldn't hear of it because this was fun. Why ruin the fun? You know, I thought it would just ruin it. And so they said that, you know, well, it's very nice that you are playing your songs and I mean, not your songs, but these songs from the radio, et cetera. But, you know, if you learn how to read music, maybe you'll learn to read, to play more interesting songs. I said, okay, fine. You know, I'll give it a try. And so I started taking lessons, I guess, maybe a year or two after that, something like that.
All right. And you studied piano with a couple of different teachers early in your life, Ofer Breyer and Emmanuel Krasovsky?
Right, yeah. My very first piano teacher actually was a jazz musician by training, interestingly enough. And then after that, I had, even though I'm not a jazz musician, I don't play jazz, but after that I was fortunate to have two teachers, one that you mentioned and another one whose name was Andre Haidu, who was actually a composition teacher, really, we did a lot of improvisation together and theory and sort of everything else that's not strictly piano. And I always felt very fortunate to have sort of those two aspects of music.
Yeah, I was curious to read about your study with Haidu and especially the improvisation. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, when you're learning piano, you learn a lot of theory by osmosis, but you don't necessarily know consciously that you're learning theory. You just know,
right.
I'm playing these chords and I recognize chord patterns that I play and things right. like that. So in your study of theory and composition and improvisation with Haidu, how does that inform your playing and interpretation of the works you play now?
Well, the way he combined improvisation into everything was, you know, it was a way to study not just theory, as you mentioned, but also different styles. You know, so you would improvise in the style of Mozart or the style of Bartok or the style of this or that, to sort of really immerse yourself in that world and literally to touch physically that kind of music. I think that's really the most wonderful thing about piano is that you get to sort of touch the inner workings of the music because of the harmony, because of, like you said, chord patterns and stuff like that. And so it's all really inseparable. What we like to call the theoretical aspect and the stylistic aspect of music, the historical aspect of music, all of that is sort of on the piano in a way. I don't think it's a coincidence that so many composers were coming to composition from piano or were pianists or in a way it sort of, it's like a gateway and into all of music. And so the way we approached composition and all of this was actually like one big thing, that composition and immersing yourself in the history of music and different styles of composers and all of that was all part of the same thing. It wasn't like, okay, now we're going to do, you know, this harmonic exercise. It touches on everything. You know, you have a certain chord progression. Let's say you move from one chord to the next, which is maybe a little more unusual, and that may allude to something that, let's say, Debussy likes to do, you know? And that leads you to that world already, even though it's just two chords and just, you know, sort of, in theory, just a theoretical thing, just, you know, a couple of chords back to back, but it sort of brings up a certain color, and and the color brings up a certain world of images from a certain composer, and then that leads you in that direction. And so you can't really separate all these things. I think the things that are called so-called theoretical in music at best are actually always connected to our sensation, the sensations that music evokes. It's not a mental exercise. It's really part of how we experience music.
I'm really struck by your use of the word world. Because in harmony, sometimes we can do that. We alter one tone of a chord. All of a sudden, we enter a whole new world that we never dreamt of before.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And in a way, that's the key to everything in this kind of music. I mean, of course, there are other kinds of music where rhythm, for example, might be the key to everything, and anything else is secondary. But I think in most of what we now call classical music, you have this sort of, it's like a giant dictionary that somehow all composers use and learn from and create these magical worlds out of.
You're associated with a number of composers, but Schubert probably first and foremost. What is it about Schubert?
I don't know, you know, it's a difficult question. It's a little bit like, you know, if you ask someone, you know, why did you marry this person?
Right.
you can't really answer that. Who knows in the end? I mean, yeah, you can say, you know, she's a wonderful person, or she's, you know, but that's always just part of the answer. So I don't know. It's maybe too close to really pinpoint certain reasons. But I think one thing that I would mention is probably the unique blend in his music of some of the most gentle moments that you can think of, in the tenderness of music, some of the most tender gestures in music, and at the same time some of the most tragic and sometimes even violent moments, and certainly quite a bit of dark undertows, and I think that sort of those two ends of his music are, for me, the coexistence of these two in his music are, for me, really very compelling. You know, I think there's something about how he views the world and sort of the sense of resignation sometimes that there is there with the good and the bad in life. Something quite modern about it, quite ahead of its time, I think. And at the same time, this just the unbelievable beauty, which of course, you know, you find also in other composers of the greats, you know. It's hard to really say it's just one thing. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things that sort of come together in his music that I've just felt for a long time now that I sort of need in my life.
We're speaking with Shai Wozner, internationally renowned pianist, who will be the guest artist at tomorrow night's Philip Lorenz International Keyboard Concert at Fresno State Concert Hall. We've been talking about Schubert, and you're playing two of Schubert's works tomorrow night. Can you talk a little bit about those?
They are two of the only three sonatas that he published during his lifetime. And they're also, they come from a sort of new phase in his creative output, sort of a phase that marks, you know, bigger works, bigger instrumental works, and as if he was really trying to assert his place on that, you know, in that category, as well as songs. I mean, he wasn't known for songs all his life, but that was considered sort of a secondary category at the time, and secondary to sonatas and string quartets and symphonies. And so, and he really felt that, you know, he wasn't really quite taken as seriously as he should be. And you see more and more of those bigger works in that period. A lot of it was associated with Beethoven. You know, he was sort of, that was his territory. And Schubert was expected to just keep writing songs. And so you see that new phase, you know, trying to sort of make bigger statements in these genres. And not only that, but also to publish them, to actually try and publish them. And you do see also a new depth in his music at around that time. Whether that has to do with his life story and his sort of feeling that death is around the corner because he was not a healthy person, who knows? That will always remain a question, because he was very young and yet his health was sort of up and down all the time. So who knows if how much of that is connected to his biography. What is certain for me is that you do feel in these pieces a sense of, like a philosophical sense about, a philosophical approach to life. Even in these pieces that have no text and in theory are about nothing, because who knows what they're about? There is no plot. And yet somehow you feel that he's sort of making a statement on the human condition. I don't mean to sound too heavy here, but even in the exuberant passages and certainly the more lyrical passages and the softer passages, you find there is a sort of very, very sometimes melancholic and just sort of a take on what life is for him. These are almost like symphonies for the piano, in other words. You know, it's sort of, they have their own scope, very broad scope, and each of them has its own character. And I often say that, you know, while Beethoven's music is really about ideals and sort of always trying to strive somehow for something, even in pieces that are without text, somehow you feel that it's looking up towards a certain ideal. With Schubert, I often feel that it's really not about that. It's more about like what the world is like, and not what the world should be. And with all the joys and the sorrows of that, you do find that in his music from this period very much.
When I heard you talk about your first playing around with the piano, I got, as much as anything, the sense of joy and wonder around the magic of, wow, look mm-hmm. what this can do. Mm-hmm. As we go on and study music and learn to read and all that, we're so much focused on, you know, beginning students first, of course, focused on playing the right notes at the right time and not. How have you as a performer kind of made that progression to going from don't mess up to imbuing a work with feeling and expression?
Well, it's a great question. I think, in a way, one of the most important things for all of us is to find our artistic voice and to find the repertoire that we feel strongly about and that we feel we must do and we, you know, we have to sort of live with all the time. And I think that's a big part of that. You know, finding pieces and or composers or periods, let's say, that speak to us on such a deep level that we feel, even if we do mess up, I mean, this is who I am, or this is what I feel so strongly about, and what I feel like I want to communicate and share with people. It's really about sharing and. I think the ideal situation is where you just create something for the people that are there to share it with you. You want to share a really great piece of music with the people and sort of be in it with them in a way. To sum it up, I mean, it may sound flowery, but it's really what it's all about in a way. That's what you strive for, and so everything else, you know, you deal with it because you have to deal with it, but in a way that's secondary. And sharing the music that you feel most strongly about is your goal as a performer.
You'll also be performing some Chopin works tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Can you speak about what Chopin means to you as a pianist and maybe a little bit about what you'll be playing of his tomorrow?
Well, I think that Chopin is easily one of the greatest composers who ever lived, and sometimes the fact that he mostly wrote just for the piano works against him, because he's sort of lumped together as just as an instrumental in the instrumentalist category, as if it's sort of limited to just the piano, but it's really not. I mean, it's I think his achievements and his daring and the daring in his music, harmonically, structurally, everything, is as great as anybody's. And the fact that he didn't write operas or symphonies means nothing in that sense. And the impromptus are one of the genres that he liked, sort of coming from the salon, the short pieces that were often played to a very small crowd, privately, and allude to an improvisatory feeling, the as if they're made up on the spot. They weren't always supposed to sound completely improvisatory, but the general spirit was something that's not only improvisatory, but also very spontaneous and intimate. Again, we talk about sharing. It's that sort of like from me to you, from one individual to another individual, almost. And it was quite popular at the time. I mean, there were a few composers before, and certainly several others after Chopin that wrote famous impromptus. So it was rather a genre for a while in music, even though it was not improvised. It was inspired by that feeling, because a lot of composers were great improvisers too, and it was common to actually improvise something. So, and the three by Chopin are from different periods in his life, and they reflect different styles, the early and the middle and the late, and but they're all equally great. And I mean, he was really, it's really hard to think of any, mediocre Chopin, to be honest, so, or lesser pieces of Chopin.
So in playing an impromptu, and you bring your own feelings to it, but is it helpful to have played a whole lot of Chopin to really have immersed yourself in the world of Chopin, so you can bring the totality of his experience to your expression of the impromptus?
Yeah, I think that's, in a way, that's true for every composer. It's good to, especially from the great ones, to play as much as you can from their pieces. And Chopin especially, he's writing really comes from the piano. The feeling of the fingers, on the keyboard really informs his writing, his composition. It's quite remarkable, and his sound world in a way comes from the piano. So the experience of playing the piano is very basic to his music, more than it is, for example, for Schubert. Schubert is more thinking more symphonically, even in sonatas. The way Beethoven, for example, a lot of the sonatas seem like they could almost be for string quartet. The texture is almost like a string quartet, certainly in the early ones. And so for Chopin, it's very much drawing from the instrument, his inspiration for sound, the Chopin sound, and the way he spaces chords, the way he spaces everything between the two hands, very much comes from the world of the piano, which is really quite fascinating, and made a very big impact on other composers as well.
We're speaking with Shai Wozner, featured pianist, tomorrow night at the Philip Lorenz International Keyboard Concert at Fresno State. So what do you work on most with piano students when you're in a one-on-one? situation?
Well, it of course depends on the
student.
Depends on the student, and it's easier said than done. But you ideally tailor what you say to what that person is about and what they seem to need and what they seem to want to learn. And so, it's not always so easy as it sounds to really give someone exactly what they need. And it, first of all, to identify what it is that they really need. And sometimes that can be counterintuitive. But I do try to talk about how some things that in today's music education are categorized as theoretical are really not. And how to appreciate and enjoy and get excited by the inner workings of the music, and to draw connections between the pieces we play and pieces that are not for piano, but that were very much in the composer's ears and minds when they wrote the piano pieces. And so I think finding connections both within pieces, in other words, how things lead from one to the next, how the music literally unfolds, what it is that makes it move where it's going rather than somewhere else, and also connections with outside pieces and sometimes other composers, and sometimes connections that are really unexpected. I often try to talk about that because, the best thing that you can give someone, I think, maybe in anything that you teach them, is a sense of a bigger picture, a sense of that things that we're doing actually belong in a bigger scale of things somehow. Because then hopefully they'll get something from it for other pieces too. And, I guess in a nutshell, I would try to do that whenever I'm with a student,
It sounds like you probably got that same kind of instructions from some of the teachers that you've worked with before too.
I guess, yeah. Like I said, I feel I was quite fortunate when it comes to teachers.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Shai Wasner, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's been great having you in. Our guest has been Shai Wasner, who'll be performing tomorrow night at Fresno State. 8 p.m. starts the concert on Friday, November 30th. For the Philip Lorenz International Keyboard Concert Series, he'll be performing works by Chopin and Schubert. Thanks so much.
Thank you.